Yeah, right.
Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. And and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. At this time, we are going to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. But first, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your prayer over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have given, blessed us with. We thank you, and we commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishments may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. And when we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh Lord, when we leave this place, give us traveling mercy. Bless our family and home to be in order as we left it. And Lord, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you're doing, and everything you're going to do. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Today to think, to pray, and to study your word. Guide my steps, Father, and keep me mindful that today offers yet another opportunity to celebrate your blessings, your love, and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, It is Impossible to Praise or Thank Me Too Much. Praise God. Scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 22, verse 3 in the New King James Version, and it says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 146, verses 1 through 2. And it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Amen. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is, It is Impossible to Praise or Thank Me Too Much. As it is written, I inhabit the praises of my people. Sometimes your admiration is a spontaneous overflow of joy in response to radiant beauty or rich blessings. At other times, your praise is more disciplined and measured, an act of your will. I dwell equally in both types of praises. Thankfulness also is a royal road to draw near me. A thankful heart has plenty of room for me. When you thank me for the many pleasures I provide, you affirm that I am God, from whom all blessings flow. When adversity strikes and you thank me anyway, your trust in my sovereignty is a showpiece in invisible realms. Fill up the spare moments of your life with praise and thanksgiving. This joyous discipline will help you live in the intimacy of my presence. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, you have given me so many blessings, starting with my family. I will keep joy in my heart as I thank you. Lord, for every single blessing you have given me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
Fill me up, God. Oh, explain. Forever I trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love remains. Your glorious love overwhelms, overcomes. Your glorious love remains.
Dear Lord, let forgiveness rule my heart, even when forgiveness is difficult. Let me be your obedient servant, Lord, and let me be a woman who forgives others just as you have forgiven me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm speaking, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote it off on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This advice is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lives get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and take in the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word.
I wrote a song called the Book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the Word of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. The title of this message is Genuine Hope. And the scripture for this message is coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, and inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. And even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong, many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from 1 Peter 1 and 3, and it says, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God. The writer says, in the early 1960s, the U.S. was filled with anticipation of a bright future. Youthful President John F. Kennedy had introduced the new frontier, the Peace Corps, and the task of reaching the moon. A thriving economy caused many people to expect the future to simply let the good times roll. Then the war in Vietnam escalated. National unrest unfolded. Kennedy was assassinated, and the accepted norms of that previously optimistic society were dismantled. Optimism simply wasn't enough, and in its wake, disillusionment prevail. Then in 1967, theologian Jurgen Moltmann, a theology of hope pointed to a clear vision. This path wasn't the way of optimism, but the way of hope. The two aren't the same thing. Maltman affirmed that optimism, is based on circumstances of the moment, but hope is rooted in God's faithfulness, regardless of our situation. The source of this hope, Peter wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Peter 1:3. Our faithful God has conquered death through his Son, Jesus. The reality of this greatest of all victories lifts us beyond mere optimism to a strong, robust hope every day and in every circumstances. Praise be to God. Question: whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, what situation caused concern in you? And why is hope better than either optimism or pessimism? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God, this world is distressing and confusing, and many voices want to drive me to a perspective that feels void of hope. Help me to root my heart in the promise and power of the resurrection of Jesus, who holds the future. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
Come what may, for there's a greater power He reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
You're listening to
His presence is in the room, healing the miracles, manifest a breakthrough, a blessing, the gift of the Spirit in full effect. Witness the anointing and the angels protect. Believe it and receive.
Deep inside of me, I can feel the fire burning. My heart is yearning with desire. Spiritually, I'm moving high.
Ready to live everlasting.
Dear Lord, you speak to me through the Bible, through teachers, and through friends. And Father, you speak to me through that still, small voice that warns me when I stray from your will. In these quiet moments and throughout the day, show me your plan for my life, Lord, that I might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I'm going to play a selection. And after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's suspend it. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
Anointing.
Holy Spirit.
pride. Covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul, restores my soul. I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see,
is
he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mile of me, yes.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him
sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble all the time.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you're free.
God. It is now time for our word this evening. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 16 through 37. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. 16 17. So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on the either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests object and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate replied, "No, what I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciples he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their death by ordering their legs broken, by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear. And immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also can believe. Then things these things happen in fulfillment of the scripture that say, no one of his bones, not one of his bones will be broken. May the Lord, the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only Son down on the cross to die for our sins. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our bodies. Thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We thank you for a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs. We thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for on the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. We thank you for Pray One for Another, for House of the Lord Online Ministry, and for House of Manasseh Christian Ministry. We thank you for the fivefold, Lord God. Bless their homes, their families, their finances. Guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. Not our will, but your will be done, Father. And dear Lord, give me the wisdom to focus not on the distractions of the moment, but on the priorities that matters today and every day, Father. Guide my thoughts and guide my heart. And now, Lord God, as I bring this word to your people, I pray that you will move Hilda out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And forgive us for our sins, Lord God, present, past, and future. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The title of my message this evening is, praise be to God, The Old Rugged Cross Made the Difference. Amen. This is a very special time of the year for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, it is far more special than Christmas. As we approach the time when we will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead, it is a time for believers to think about the things that really matter in life, the things that make life worth living, and the things that have shaped us into what we are this evening. For me, it is a time to remember the cross. It is a time to remember that 2,000 years ago, God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, so that I might be saved. It is a time for me to remember that while my upbringing, my education, and my experience have contributed to who I am, it was the cross of Calvary that made the difference in my life. If you are saved, you will have to make the same statement today. Amen. This evening, I want to take you back to that day when heaven died for earth. I want to take you back to Calvary and show you why the old rugged cross made the difference. If you are saved, I hope you will remember what Jesus did for you that day. And I pray that you will fall in love with him all over again. If you are lost, I want you to learn today that the cross of Calvary can make all the difference in your life now and in your eternity later. As we travel back to that time long ago and look at a message that is as fresh today, I want to preach on the subject, the old rugged cross made the difference. Allow me to make a few observations from this text that tell how and why the old rugged cross made the difference. You see, in verses 16 through 18, we're going to talk about the trip to the cross. Now, verse 16, the plan of that trip, Pilate delivered his prisoner to the cross. But God was fulfilling the ages old plan by delivering up his son. In 1 Peter 1 and 20, Revelation 13 and 8, Calvary wasn't an accident. It was a divine assignment designed to purchase salvation for sinners. In verse 17, the place of that trip, the place of a skull, a place associated with death in the minds of the people of Jerusalem. Yet it was a place prepared by the Father himself. The foreknowledge and planning of the Father, a place designed to host the death of the Lamb of God. Verses 17 and 18, the plan of that trip. Now, verse 17 tells us that he carried his cross to Calvary. The other gospel writers mentioned that a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene carried the cross for him. There is no contradiction. He left Pilate's judgment hall carrying the cross. Simon was recruited along the way to help. John's word brings to mind the symbolism of the cross. Jesus was bearing upon him the sins of the world. That cross was more than wood. It represented the heartbreak, the pain, and the slavery, and the depth of sin. That's what Jesus was carrying that day. When they arrived at Calvary in verse 18, reminds us that Jesus was crucified. They nailed our Lord to the cross with spikes through his hands and his feet. The agony of that experience. Now, let's talk about the power of that trip. Verse 18 also records that Jesus was in the midst of two thieves that day. Friend, when Jesus gets in the midst, things begin to happen. Luke 23:42-43 tells us that one of those thieves came to faith in Jesus that day and was saved. The other died lost because he rejected Jesus. The truth of this verse is that Jesus cannot be avoided. Just like those thieves every person in this room will make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. He cannot be evaded or avoided. You will decide. In verses 19 through 24 tells us the testimony of the cross. Two events occurred at Calvary that day that gave loud testimony to what was taking place. In verses 19 through 22, the testimony of the writing Pilate signed, written in Hebrew, the language of religion, Greek, and language of philosophy and culture. Greek was also the language of the common man, and Latin, the language of law and government. The sign told all who might have passed by that Jesus was the King of the Jews. The cross of Christ became a giant gospel tract for all who were passing by. The importance of this is that Jesus is pictured as a universal Savior. That does not mean that he will automatically save everybody, but that he will save anyone who will come to him by faith, regardless of their social standings or background. He is the Savior of whosoever will. Amen. Praise be to God. Verses 23 through 24 tells us the testimony of the wagger, the seamless garment. The soldiers gambled for it just as the scripture has predicted in Psalms 22:18. The picture in this garment is special. The seamless garment was to be worn by the high priest of Israel as part of his ceremonial dress. In Exodus 39, this was to remind him that he was going into the presence of God without blemish and without flaw. This picture of the Lord Jesus and what he was about to do as our great high priest. Second, just the night before, Israel's high priest had rent his own garment in the presence of Jesus. This was forbidden by the law, Leviticus 21 and 10, and was a picture of the end of the high priest system in Israel. Also, when Jesus died, we are told that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. In Matthew 27:51, this is also a picture of the end of the Old Testament system. When Christ died, he was the only whose garment were not torn. This is God's way of picturing for us that the old system had forever passed away, and that we now have a new high priest. He alone is qualified for the job. Thank God he is even in heaven this evening carrying out that job for you and for me. Hebrews 7:25. In verses 25 through 30, we're going to talk about the triumph of the cross. Lest we are left to think that Calvary was a place of death and suffering only, we are given three statements made by the Lord while he hung on the cross. These statements teaches us the truth that Calvary was a place of triumph also. Amen. In verses 25 through 27, the triumph of compassion in the midst of his dying hour with his enemies, revealing his death, and with a little band of faithful followers at his feet. Jesus took the time to make provision for his mother. There are many truths here. But the one that I want to point out is that even in death, he did not forget others. He was dying to save men, and he remembered his mother that day. He made sure that Mary would be taken care of for the rest of her life. His actions are symbolic of the fact that through his death, those who receive him entered into a new relationship with God, one in which they too are taken care of forever. John 10:28, he may not have mentioned our names, but we were in his heart and on his mind that day. In verses 28 through 29, the triumph of connection. The next statement from the Lord was, I thirst. His agony and the conditions he had endured that day. It is ironic that the one who created the streams, the creeks, and the rivers, the one who filled oceans with water, was thirsty that day. Surely his body was thirsty that day, but there is far more in view here. If you take all the conditions of Calvary into account, if you consider the darkness, the pain, the isolation, the separation from the Father, 1924, you get a clear picture of hell. When Jesus was on the cross, he was enduring hell on earth. He was suffering for our hell so that we might enjoy his heaven. Praise be to God. Don't misunderstand me. There is a literal burning hell where the lost will experience pain, torment, thirst, isolation, and separation from God forever. That is true. It is also true that Jesus endured all the torments of hell while he hung on the cross for you and me. He endured hell for countless billions of humans in his 6 hours on the cross that day. He took your hell for you so that you would not have to. All you have to do is come to him and be saved. Hallelujah. In verse 30, the triumph of completion. The final word recorded by John is, it is finished. The is a translation of the Greek word tetelestai. It is the perfect tense, which means something that took place in the past, which had presented abiding true results. It could be translated this way. It stands finished and always will be finished. In other words, Jesus is saying, it is done. This common word in that society, it was used to slaves who had completed an assignment given to him by his master. He would report back, it is finished. It was used of an artist who had complete work on a painting. He would step back and say, it is finished. It was used by a merchant who had sold merchandise on credit when the bill had been paid in full. He would write in his ledger book, it is finished. When Jesus used this word from the cross, he was saying, Father, finish the assignment I was given. I have applied the last stroke to the picture of salvation. It is finished. I have paid the penalty for sin. It is finished. Thank God our salvation rests upon the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. It is done. To be saved, I have to do nothing but lean on what he has already done for me. There is nothing left for me to do. A young man after a revival service came up to the visiting evangelist and they were getting ready to put up everything for the night. The young man had left after the invitation. Under conviction, he had returned at the conclusion of the service and went up to the evangelist and he said, "Sir, what can I do to be saved?" And the evangelist hardly even lift up his eyes from the work he was doing. He said, "I am sorry, son. You are too late." And the boy said, "Surely, surely that cannot be. Surely I am not too late. You are still here. Won't you tell me what must I do to be saved?" And the evangelist stopped what he was doing, looked at him, and he said, "I'm sorry, son, you are too late. Jesus did everything necessary for you to be saved 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is just receive his finished work for your salvation." This is a major part of the good news of the gospel. It is finished. Are you trusting in the forever finished work of Jesus and nothing else? It's too late for you to do anything else. In verses 31 through 37, the treasure of the cross. The treasure of the accomplishment. Did you notice that the death of Jesus took place just like the Old Testament scripture had predicted it would? His legs were not broken. In Psalms 34:20, his side was pierced. Zechariah 12:10. In fact, over 300 precious prophecies were fulfilled to the letter during the birth, life, and death of Jesus. He accomplished the plan of God for lost humanity so that we might be saved from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. He did just what his Father had said that he would do. The treasure of atonement in verse 34 records the precious truth that when Jesus died and they pierced his side, blood and water both ran out. This indicates that he was dead before they pierced his side with the spear. Doctors who have studied the death of Jesus and the record of scripture have concluded that his heart probably burst while he was on the cross. When it did, the platelets and the serum in his blood separated. When they thrust in the spear, blood and water came forth. Jesus literally died of a broken heart for you. My friends, that blood which flowed that day was precious blood. It was the blood of the atonement. That blood and that blood alone is the satisfied God and opened the doors of heaven to those whom it is applied. There is only one means of salvation. You must be washed in the blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Nothing else that you do and are in life matters until you are washed in the blood. Hebrews 9:22. How does one get washed in the blood? When you look to Jesus by faith for your soul's salvation, his blood is counted as the payment for your sins. In other words, the blood is applied and you are saved by grace. The atonement we have through the blood of Jesus is a treasure that is priceless in its value to the human soul. The treasure of access. When that spirit was thrust into the side of our Lord, it opened the way to God for all who will come by faith. If you will only believe, the way to God has been opened. The way to heaven has been paved with blood. Now there is access to God for whosoever will. Have you come to Jesus by faith? The door is open for you today. John 10:9. Notice what verse 30 says about the death of Christ. It says that he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when people die, they rarely bow their head. In fact, it is far more common for people to raise their head to try and get just one more breath. Not Jesus. When he knew that God the Father had been satisfied and that the price of salvation had forever been paid, he willingly allowed his spirit to leave his body. John 10:18. He died only when he knew that he had opened a perfect way for you and me to be saved. As we bring these thoughts to a close today, I want to ask you a question. Has the old rugged cross made the difference for you? Have you cast all your hope of heaven upon what Jesus did that day? Are you trusting his death for you as the payment of your sins? Or are you still trying to do it yourself? My friends, you cannot and you will never be able to provide salvation. It has already been finished. All you have to do is believe. Does the truth that Jesus did all of this for you move your heart? Are you keenly aware that you need to be saved today? Would like to be free from your sins? Would like to be sure that you will miss hell and go to heaven when you leave this world? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to move from where you are and come down to where I am. We will take the Bible and show you how to God. The old rugged cross can make all the difference for you, but only if you will receive the finished work of Jesus as your own. Will you do that right now? I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And as you know, it doesn't stop there. All you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into a good Bible teaching church. Amen. To further your walk in Christ. My benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode. Pray one for another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And following the word, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our poetry. And following the poetry will be our very own Pastor Kathy DuVos from Led by God's Christian Ministry with Talk in the Sanctuary. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. Stay safe. Amen. And wear your mask. Praise God. And please get vaccinated and your boosters. Shalom, everyone.
All the praise belongs to you. for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.